It's time again for the Scotty Johnny Podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam. Talking Wisconsin sports, two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what he read on Twitter. With music by Duluth Greats, Cars and Trucks, here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome in to the Scotty Johnny Podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, Scotty Johnny himself, and with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam.
Hello, John. How are you doing today?
It's another great day for the most part here. We had one hiccup over the weekend, but a lot of things going very well in Wisconsin. I just want to say, first off, that you can follow the show at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can follow me at not-so-humble host. It's nice and easy to remember. Aaron, where do people follow you if they wanted to follow you on Twitter?
You can find me right now. My name right now is Aaron Pumpkinbottom Flottam and that's at Cheddar Talk. That's right. Cheddar Talk is alive and well. I just had to go to apologize to Twitter and remove one of my tweets. Apparently that's how you get out of suspension. It's difficult. It's a little weird. But you can get out of suspension on Twitter, just so you know.
Perfect.
I've gained like 70 followers since then too. So,
oh, that's nice. People just feel bad for you now. You're like a charity case of.
Well, I'm like, what's his name? That's Kareem Hunt. You know, he's coming off suspension now. Now everybody's all about Kareem Hunt, completely forgetting about what actually happened.
Let's not make you like Kareem Hunt. Let's just not. That's terrible.
No, I would not do those kind of things.
Of course not. No. The other things you can find the show, we do put things up on scottyjohnny.com. We also have a Facebook page, and you can follow everything there. And whether you follow us on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you follow your podcast, please make sure to go follow us there. Subscribe, download, listen, and give us a rating and a review. It makes the show a little easier to find. And, of course, big shout-outs to our fans in Europe right now. A couple listeners from Belarus last week, and our first Austrian listener this week. So that was fantastic to see. As they say, put another shrimp on the barbie. Austria, wow.
Austria is awesome. When I was over in Europe when my brother was stationed over there, we went through Switzerland, Liechtenstein, southern France, North Italy, Switzerland, Liechtenstein, Austria, and part of the Czech Republic. Oh, I loved it. It was what you think it is. It's great.
That's good.
Thank you. And no, we don't have any military bases in Belarus. So yes, welcome, comrades.
Comrades. I was supposed to go to Austria, but instead I went to Kuwait, and my father-in-law got my ticket to Austria. We had a choir tour that my wife and I were going to go on. With the South Metro Chorale in the Twin Cities, and they went to Poland, and they went to Krakow and Prague and was it Vienna or Salzburg? I forget. But so they're in Poland, Czech Republic, and Austria, and I went to Kuwait, which is not the same.
No, it's not. Vienna's capital of Austria, I believe. Yes, 100%. I know that Salzburg is in the western part of Austria because that's just right across the border from Germany. So
by the Bavarians.
That is a beautiful part of the world. If you haven't, folks, get there.
It is incredible. Yes. Anyhow, we'll get everything started here now with our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, Aaron. So we're going to start off the main event with the least impressive part of what we have here, which is Badgers, because it happened Saturday.
Yeah, let's rip that Band-Aid off and just get it over with.
That was a painful game to watch. Mm-hmm. The offense wasn't doing anything. It literally, the only way you can describe this game is they were on to playing Ohio State as of the moment they beat Michigan State.
Well, it's like I said to you earlier, John. I honestly wonder if there was, and I'm 100% serious on this one, if there was a meeting with the coaches, Paul Christ up front, going, all right, Ohio State's a big deal 2 weeks from now. we got to start studying that. Illinois, I think we can take care of them with just a vanilla offense, run our defense, you know, no big deal, not that big of a threat. You half of this room, you're going to go start scouting out Ohio State. The rest of us will take care of Illinois. Okay, ready, break. Because that's the only way that this makes sense, because that was unbelievably no effort on Saturday.
Yeah, it was ridiculously bad. Basically, like, there was just nothing that the offensive line was doing that gave enough of a gap. There were no breakaway runs. There were a couple runs of like 12 yards here and there, but there wasn't anything big. They never opened up a tearing hole against just that Illinois front. And you got to be entirely honest, Illinois was not stacking the box. They just weren't. They were putting 7 in the box. It was a normal front, and they were staying right there and filling all the gaps, and we couldn't get anything going against that front 7. On a team that this was their first Big Ten win of the year. It was an embarrassing playoff by that team.
Heller brought it up. Mike Heller brought it up on his show, Heller and Dolphin, on the Big Ten 70th day, and he said that he was doing the sideline on the game. And I don't remember if he said he was talking to a coach or some member of the Badgers, you know, team. Not a player, but a coach or somebody on the sidelines. And they said, like, about midway through the fourth quarter, we just got to get out of here. And you could feel that, too. Like, as a fan watching, you're just like, just got, at fourth quarter, like, at some point, you're just like, can we just get a drive together with a field goal at the end of it that burns up a whole bunch of time, puts us up by 9 with 6 minutes to go, and we'll be able to milk this thing out? And it still didn't work out that way. But I mean, it was one of those feelings, like, you knew that the Badgers at no point were going to turn the corner. They weren't going to run away with it. And now on the heels of this whole thing is that, you know, prior to the game yesterday, they were talking about what happens if Wisconsin wins today, and then they go into Ohio State next week and win, and then, or even lose, and then they still meet in the championship, and Wisconsin wins in the championship, or vice versa. Now they're going to have to take it seriously as to whether or not they're going to have to put two Big Ten teams into the playoffs at the end of the year. And now what this essentially does is just say, at this point, now you want Ohio State to win, or the Big Ten's not going to be. If the Badgers beat the Ohio State next week, there will be no Big Ten teams in the playoffs.
Right. And somebody was saying something, they were like, people were saying last week, is this an elimination game for Georgia? And you're like, no, it's not. Because one loss doesn't eliminate an SEC school, because they'll still get enough votes in that room to get them to wherever they want to go. But one loss for Wisconsin ends Wisconsin. It doesn't end Ohio State. It wouldn't end Michigan, but it ends Wisconsin.
And two, on top of it, the Badgers' only chance of seeing the playoff now, and it's so slim, it's less than 1%, is they would have to run the table, which would mean beating Ohio State twice.
Even then, I don't think they'll put them in. I think they'll say Ohio State was down.
They lost to Illinois, who lost to a MAC school.
Yeah, so they'll say that this doesn't mean anything. It just means that Ohio State's in a down year, and we overvalued them. They won't say that Wisconsin got better and had one slip-up game. They'll say, nope, they played terribly. And here's the thing.
Right. Point for the Big Ten's health, you hope that Ohio State wins and then Penn State wins out and gets in.
Look at this. And you look at these stats and you're like, man, what team won this game? Jack Cohn, 24 of 32, 264 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Peters for the 9 of 21 for 174 yards. That's the winning quarterback. Mm-hmm. The running back on the winning team had 17 carries for 83 yards. The one that lost to 28 for 132. Their leading receiver had 48 yards. The Badgers' leading receiver had 77 on 5 catches and a touchdown. It's just like, I don't understand how they win this game. But the Badgers didn't close
almost
it
as, John, this is just as bad as the other night I was playing NCAA 2014, and I never restart. I never restart the games when I play, and I don't do that because that's I call BS on that. So I was taking, as you were at my wedding, so my character now that I'm running through with, because NCAA 14 is the best game ever, I'm running through with Andrew Clark now, who is the Australian that was at my wedding. So he is the quarterback this time. And we are playing for the Badgers, just because I didn't want to play for the Razorbacks this year. we lost to Bowling Green in Camp Randall. And it was just because I outscored me and my offense scored 38 points, but as you know, in Road to Dynasty mode, you hit the square button, and then the defense takes over, and the defense allowed 42 points.
Yeah, that is the most frustrating. It always seems like your defense is designed to set it up so that you have to have one giant play at the end.
Andrew Clark was like 23 for 25 for 490 yards and five touchdowns, and we lost. And I'm like, come on, man. Now it's just the opposite. Now let's bring it back to the real world. But it was like the Badgers are destined to lose on Saturday. Like every time we talked about this. I'm a radio listener. Every time I'd listen in, it'd be like, now what are they doing wrong? And
Yeah, I'm looking at the ESPN page now. Until 47 seconds left, the Badgers were still projected to win. Mm-hmm. The Badgers, of course, were never losing at any point during the game. The clock hit zeros before they lost. It's ridiculous. This team with this much talent, they've got a good quarterback. He's not amazing. He's not going to be Russell Wilson, but he's a very good quarterback. He's mobile. He reads well. He doesn't panic. He stands in the pocket and takes a hit. He's an accurate quarterback. He gets the ball to some very talented wide receivers in Cephas and Davis and Pryor and Taylor. He has the best running back in college football behind him and one of the best offensive lines. And, I mean, I'll be honest, Jack Cohn did his bit, and the receivers for most part did their bit, and they could not get the ball downfield because they were behind the chains. It was run on first down every play. I can't back that up that it's factually true. It just felt that way. It felt like they ran on first down every time, and then it was second and long. Mm-hmm. Or they ran for 12. Every now and then they ran for 12 and it was first down again. But they got behind the chains too much. This is an offense that needs to not be behind the chains a lot. They can definitely overcome a lot of things, but man, they just didn't get it done, and they got themselves in positions where they were not set up to succeed, and it killed them in the end. They got down there. I mean, they had the ball at the one, right? Like they were inside mm-hmm. the five and had to settle for a field goal. They were inside the three and ran two plays to the fullback instead of the nation's best running back. And I love handing the ball to a fullback, but you don't give it to him twice on three plays when you have Jonathan Taylor. You just don't. I don't get that. I mean, it's cute and it's fun. And, you know, Chanel does not get stopped often, but he got stopped the first time. And the second time they figured it was the same play and they were right. What were they doing?
Illinois was hell-bent on stopping the run. That's what it was. And, I mean, most teams are against Wisconsin. They still just get rolled. And it was as if there was – it was a shot in the mouth. It was like I said before we started this. It was like as if they had that meeting about we're just going to do our thing and we're still going to win. And when that didn't work, they didn't know what to do. They couldn't adjust. It was like – you've played sports against other teams that you're supposed to – or another person that you're – that you can easily just beat, and then when you're losing, you're just like confounded. Like you're like, how is this happening right now? Like I don't even know what to do. Like I'm just gonna keep doing my thing. Oh, this isn't working. Well, I don't know how else to do this. You know, and that's almost what it seemed like they were doing. Like just running their head into a brick wall over and over and over again.
I mean, like my high school coach never let us believe that we were better than anybody we ever played. And we overlooked a couple teams.
That's because you were playing for Catholic school. That's the Catholic.
We never
mantra.
Get to feel better than anybody. Yeah, we have to just feel that we're equal to everybody, and we need to put up all our work and do it.
Everything you do is terrible.
You suck.
Dingle wop wop wop.
Jeez, that's not at all correct. But I mean, we still overlooked a couple people. You know, a couple teams along the way. I know two in high school, and that was. You know, that was on us. Our coaching staff did every bit to say, like, you think you're just going to walk in and beat, you know, Assumption? Like, you're not. Mm-hmm. But we did every year, actually. But
there's that. But
my coach, Assumption's the school, like, one county over from us. Mm-hmm. And we played them every year. Coach Rochick coached for over 50 years and never lost to Assumption. And one of those years, they won a state title. They still couldn't beat Bob.
Which one's Assumption?
Assumption, Wisconsin Rapids Assumption.
Oh,
the Royals.
I you live in Rapids now. You grew up in Point.
I grew up in Point. Stephen Spilipicelli. Go Cardinals. Yeah. Anyhow, yeah, that's about all we can say about this Badger game. They definitely overlooked this team. They tried to say afterwards they didn't. They said they, Bond said they came out flat and they just didn't have the emotion. They weren't looking over anybody, but they definitely overlooked this team. They definitely did.
And all this talk about the fact that, well, this will be propelling to, they're going to lose at Ohio State this week. I mean.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
They're dead. I mean, I hope it doesn't turn into a swoon like last year did. But, I mean, they are D-E-D dead right now. And I'm expecting them to just get spanked in Ohio State.
The Capital One bowl game is what we're looking at. I mean, they think they finished third, fourth in the Big Ten now. I'm not saying that that's bad. It's that Penn State's a very good team. I think we can beat, other than Ohio State, I think we'll beat the rest of the teams on our calendar. Mm-hmm.
As long as they beat Minnesota and get the Bunyan axe back at this point, that's all I really care about.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like this is a team that can go 10-2. That's still a very nice season. The problem is that we got in the top 10 too early. We got in the top 10 too early this year, and we believed it. And the minute that one of these Paul Chryst teams believes they've done it, that's when they fall apart. And that was the entirety of last year. The entirety of last year was
they were number four starting the year, so they were just out of it before it even started.
It's the minute, the minute they believe they've done it, that's when they fall apart. They're a better team. Paul Chryst is great at chasing because he never freaks out. He never overreacts to anything, and he stays calm and keeps that team feeling they got a shot in this game, which is great when you're coming from behind. When you're the leader, you need to get them fired up to say, we need to destroy this team. We cannot let this team think they can play with us. We need to end the half up by 10. We need to end the half up by 20. We don't have that. That's not his personality. He's not bad. I don't want him like fired or anything like that. I don't want anybody saying that about me. He's a great coach. There's limitations with him like there is with any coach. One of these years, he's going to have another undefeated season. I think he is. But this year, I don't know. Did they learn humility or did they not?
Hey, as long as you get to the point, and I'm not like you, I'm not a UW alum. I'm a guy from Wisconsin that grew up in northern Wisconsin, very detached from the Badgers, as a matter of fact. But I've spent more time in Madison now down here than I have in the prior 39 years of my life. I think Badger fans should be happy with the lot in life. Like, yes, everyone wants a national championship. You know, the basketball team got super close a couple of years ago. I get it. But I mean, when you look at all the teams out there, how many FCS teams are there? 129.
FBS?
FBS.
Like 130 something. I forget the number now. They've added some in the last couple of years. I used to know this off the top of my head, but some point after they added ODU, I've kind of lost track. It's like 130 or 132.
Right, 130 or some. How many teams legitimately have a chance at a national championship year to year to year? 10 tops?
Yeah, probably 10.
You know, as long as we're old enough to remember back to the dog days of Badger football. And my dad and your dad especially remember how bad the Badgers were for 30 years. You know, I'll take it. You know, I'll take 10-2s. I'll take being behind Ohio State. It's fine. You know, as soon as you realize that, it'll become a whole lot easier because a lot of people getting their hearts ripped out on Saturday, and I get it, man. But the Badgers are serial heart rippers. Like, if you want to invest that much emotional currency into this team, then go right ahead, but expect to have it all ripped out for the chance of one day they're a national champion. It's not worth it, man. It's just chill out, you know. Like, it was gonna happen. I just didn't think it was gonna happen this week. I thought it was gonna happen against Iowa, to be perfectly honest.
As long as it's not,
I would have been happier with happening to Iowa, but
I want all the trophies back,
right?
The Heartland, the Memorial, and the axe, of course. I think it's the Memorial, something like that. Anyhow, that's what we've got for Wisconsin Badgers football.
Boy, we definitely squeezed more than 5 minutes out of that game.
I could go on forever with just my hatred of how that game played out. And I definitely did on Saturday for the rest of my day. But, you know, at least I had time to calm down before I had to go to bed. It wasn't like a Monday night loss or something crazy. But thankfully, the Packers.
Recording the podcast on Monday night was torture. I was so out of it on Tuesday morning. God, that was bad.
The Packer game this week ended up being something very fun to watch. It was something much more exciting to see, especially for us. And I always say good football games are for games where I don't care who wins. Right. I don't want a good football game for a Packer game. I don't want to go watch a good football game. I want to watch the Packers kill somebody.
Right, exactly.
And this was almost, this was on the verge of being a very good football game, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And the turning point is definitely fumbling through the end zone, which Derek Carr didn't have to do.
Right, absolutely.
It was second and one. It was second and one. They're about to go in. They had plenty of time. And he reaches out just trying to be a hero. And man, don't be the hero. You don't need any hero ball. Just you have a great young running back in Jacobs, and you had another chance to hand him the ball. And instead, Carr thinks he's the guy who's going to punch himself into the end zone. And it's like, what? That was a really dumb play.
Yeah, he was playing hard though, man. I mean, you got to give him credit. Like I mean, we can say this about our AFC West opponents because we see them once every 4 years. I like Derek Carr. Him and his brother both have they both had a tough run, and at least he was trying. I mean, he wasn't. I mean, ill-advised.
Derek Carr would have been an MVP had he not torn his ACL that 1 year, like three games left.
Absolutely,
he would have been the MVP. He had the best stats in football. He was killing it with the Raiders. They had the best record in football. He goes down. Suddenly the Patriots pass them, of course, because the Patriots are the benefactors of every bad break in the history of the last 20 years of the NFL.
You don't happen to have the Monday Night Football game on going on in the background.
Oh, I don't want to have that on. It's not even a
game.
They
were the benefactors of a lot of bad Sam Darnold play. Anyways, yes.
That's my purse. I don't know you.
Right.
One of the greatest memes I've ever seen. No, but that play, I'm not faulting, I guess, him for trying, because I do, like you said, I like Derek Carr. I think he's a great quarterback, and I think he seems to be a smart young guy who's got he seems grounded. He seems ready. He seems like he's a good leader out there, and he was playing very well yesterday. It's taken away from him the fact that he played a very good game yesterday. At the point in which the Packers started to kneel down, I was at the game with my parents and my younger brother, Mike. And we looked up at the Jumbotron, and my mom's like, wow, both teams have the same yards. And I looked up.
Yeah.
They did. They had the same number of yards right before the kneel downs.
Right. And that's it's like we talked about when he, ill-advised as it was, still trying, blah, 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 whatever. I mean, they were going to score a touchdown. Like, they were moving. And that was a backbreaker. I mean, it went from potentially 14 to 13 in favor of the Packers at the worst if they kicked a field goal, to turn it over out to the 20, and then that led to the Jake Kumerow touchdown. So that is legitimately, if going from 17 to 14 to 21-10 Packers, that is a 14-point swing in less than 3 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it was, yeah, from there to the touchdown there was great. The second best part of that, though, too, is that the Packers were getting the ball to start the second half. So the Packers get the ball, score a touchdown. Oakland got a very good drive, got down there, and fumbled through the end zone, giving the Packers the ball. After that, Packers score a touchdown. They give the ball back to the Raiders just for enough time to kneel it and go in. Then they kick the ball back off to the Packers, who go down and score another touchdown. It's 28-10. It's almost 17-14, but, you know, Raiders, and then it's suddenly 28-10.
We call that the New England special.
It was something
that all the time. They do that all the time.
McCarthy used to do that too. He always tried to defer because you want that second half, because you want to score before the half and then get the ball back. It's a turnaround where you can get two scores.
Right, because there's going to be three each team. There's going to be about six possessions total, three on both sides, and then it turns, and then you get the seventh one in your favor. Yes.
Here's the best. Derek Carr actually was 22 of 28, 293 yards, touchdown and a pick. He had 119.2 rating, and they weren't in this game. Not in the second half. I mean, they were done early in the second half. And here's the best part. Mike Glennon was 2 of 3 for 36 yards and a touchdown. He had 147 rating.
Right.
A 99.6 QBR, meaning he played nearly a perfect game in QBR.
Well, this is reminiscent back to the 15-1 year.
He had a higher rating than Rodgers on QBR.
20. God, QBR. So dumb. Anyways, back to the year after the Super Bowl when they were 15-1. The Packers had the number one offense and the 31 or 32nd defense.
And this defense has generally been good. The biggest weakness has been the first off is the running game. I mean, Jacobs ran for 124 yards, I believe, something like that. He had a very good day. They probably should have given it to him more. 21 carries for 124 yards, 5.9 a carry. I mean, along of 42, but, I mean, that's good. And the other thing is the Packers have traditionally not been good at covering tight ends. Waller destroyed them this week. Seven catches, 126 yards. Doss, who was a favorite from the he's from UC Davis, and he was one of those cool guys they talked about on the Hard Knocks this year, who everybody liked. He had three catches for 54 yards, and nobody else had over 40 yards receiving. But, yeah, 126 yards for your tight end and two of the three touchdowns.
Yeah, that Waller can play, man. He's going to be really good. But that's what I was kind of getting at, is that 15-1 year, the defensive stats were terrible because every team was in a shootout with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers plucking 50-yard passes nonstop, and it turns into a shootout, and that's what happens to the defense. Now, to your point about those tight ends getting open, now, I've been a Blake Martinez apologist from day one, and he did have 16 tackles yesterday and leads the league in tackles.
Which is not an official stat.
That said, he can't cover. Nope. He's slow. He's too slow. He's good at stopping the run. He cleans up the middle, but, you know, and they brought it up today on Hiller, either that or Dario Melendez brought it up. A slow middle linebacker makes a slow defense, and it really did look like that. And I'll be the first one to admit it. Like, I have been the biggest Blake Martinez apologist. And it was pretty obvious yesterday. That's why those tight ends were running wild.
Well, I think the biggest reason they're running wild is actually Darnell Savage isn't on the field.
Well, that too.
Angus
had
him.
A really bad play early on, too. That would led to that, not the Waller touchdown, but the one that ended up, it was the first Waller touchdown. Amos had a really bad play.
There were a couple in there, but Amos had a couple really good plays. He had a really great tackle that stopped what would have been a touchdown, which, if it were Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, would have been a touchdown because he would have whiffed, or he would have just backpedaled until they were both in the end zone.
He would have fallen down.
He would have backpedaled as fast as the other guy was running at
him. He would have fallen down making a faint attempt at an interception, yeah.
Yeah, but and he had a couple big plays knocking a ball away once at least. But, yeah, I mean, that's the other thing is you don't always – not every scheme is covering that tight end with the linebacker. We are really designed to try to free up Blake to run to the ball and make a tackle. He's a good tackler. He goes well – tackle to tackle, not necessarily sideline to sideline. He goes well tackle to tackle. He's attacking downhill, trying to get to that edge when they're running off tackle, when they're trying to hit that edge and move out that way. If they're running a wide sweep, we're trying to just hold the point of attack and push it out so our corners and safeties can pursue down the line and get there. But yeah, Blake Martinez is the guy, tackle to tackle, and that's what he's there for. He's not there to cover a tight end. He just isn't, and that's not the way we would use him because he can't do it. But yeah, missing Darnell Savage badly, I think, at that point, because he's a guy who can just, I mean, he can cover up a lot of ground too, because he is very fast out there. So he's definitely being missed a lot. But yeah, the number of different guys who caught balls in this game was great for the Packers. MVS getting 133 yards on two catches, sitting on my mom's bench in her fantasy team.
yep.
I also started Aaron Rodgers last night over Lamar Jackson against my brother Mike, so I kept showing him the score during the game.
I also picked up Alan Lazard this week, who had a phenomenal catch. He also had a big drop. He had a bad drop, but his catch on the left sideline towards the end, that one that he had to go way up in the air for,
yep.
That guy's got some physical attributes, I'll tell you much.
It's a little Derek Mays-like. Do you remember Derek Mays?
Yeah, I do remember Derek Mays.
He was like a second-round pick out of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
He could catch anything that was not near him. He had this incredible catch radius.
Right, yeah.
But if you hit him right in the chest, he was going to drop the ball. And I knew it was amazing. The first time I saw him, he was running routes during the Family Day scrimmage thing. Mm-hmm. And we're just watching him warm up. And it was Favre, or maybe it was one of the backups. I don't remember the quarterback. But they're throwing passes to him. Derek Mays is running down the sideline, and the ball is back behind him, and he has to turn his entire shoulder back to reach, and he can only get one hand back to it, and he just grabbed the cone of the ball. And, you know, like, all the way back behind him, running the other way, without slowing down, he just, I'll just go back here and do that. I was like, you know, It was before Odell Beckham, because, by the way, people did that before Odell Beckham, and that was an amazing. I sat there, I was like, what? And the gloves weren't as good back then when Derek Mason played.
These gloves these days are ridiculous, by the way.
I bought a pair just for like the Thanksgiving Day game I play every year, and it's incredible how great they are. I don't drop anything. Almost.
Yeah, no, I used to. I actually, true story. Let's go back to the Flottum time machine here. I actually got I got kicked out of a game in high school because that stickum stuff that you used to use for your ankle taping and stuff like that. I'd spray my hands with that before the game, and then I'd go slap my hands on the grass and the mud to make it not so obvious. But yeah, because I mean, back then we had basically batting gloves, you know, just leather gloves. And once those things get wet, good night, you know, it's not even worth it. So when you're out there playing receiver, that was what I would use, you know? So, and nowadays I think about that I was at Dick's Sporting Goods the other day, and I just picked up a pair of receiving gloves, and I'm like touching like the hand surface, and I'm like, how is this legal? And me spraying basically tar on my hands was illegal. I don't get it. Yeah. Or water on it. It resists. It's no wonder OBJ can catch those balls like that. Anyways, so back to Derek Mays.
Yeah.
off my tangent, back to your tangent.
Yeah, Derek Mays, alien lizard. Back to the real world, back to reality. Yes. It was a fun game to be at, but it felt like as I was sitting there watching that game that just you would look, as our seats are in the end zone, the north end zone, looking down the field, so you can really see things break open, and you would just see guys just like, wow, and I'm yelling pointers like, Rodgers is rolling to his right, and I was like, shoot, back left, made a big post cut, you know, like a corner route, and he is he's just going to be wide open on that flag route. But then he throws the ball. I was like, oh, Jimmy Graham was doing the same route on the other side, and he's wide open too. And Jimmy Graham, I didn't believe it was him when I saw it. He had one where he caught the ball and then like stopped suddenly and cut back into the center of the field.
And picked up like 15 more yards.
Yeah, and he made a cornerback miss him.
It looked good on TV, John. It did. And at first I was like, I saw the number 80, and I didn't believe it. I was like, was that 80? No, it's too tall to be 83. It's not 81. Jimmy Graham just did that.
I thought it was Geronimo. I yelled Geronimo because I thought it was. And then I looked, it's like, well, that's not. And don't give me the, like, they're completely different skin colors. There's like, I don't know, you got a guy running and there's a whole lot of things going on. I'm looking for numbers. I'm just looking for numbers. I don't expect to have to look at anything else.
I was like,
is that Geronimo?
First things in my head were, no, it's too big to be MVS, and then Allison, and then you see 80 get up, and you're like, well, what?
Well, I thought it was Geronimo, but then I was like, wow, he's running really slowly. Why is he going to the sideline so quickly? I was like, well, that was Jimmy. Oh, man. Yeah. Jimmy showing up good. Before
he,
the 20-yard line.
Good on his touchdown catch, too, man. He did.
Yeah, he actually had himself a day for the first day in a while.
For the first time since we've gotten him.
Yeah, just about. What he ended.
He had one preseason game like 2 years ago that he looked really good in.
He had four catches on four targets for 65 yards and a touchdown. Four catches on four targets. I can't remember the last time he caught every target. It's hard to think of the last time he caught every target he had.
I will take that from Jimmy Graham every single day. Like,
Yes, I would.
I will. At this point in his career, absolutely.
That's a 1,000-yard season if you do that every game.
Great point, actually. Yeah, it is.
Because it's something like 63 yards a game to get to 1,000, which is why 1,000 isn't actually that impressive in a 16-game season. When Tony Canadeo was doing it in 10, that was impressive.
Well, that's like everyone was like, well, Adrian Peterson had 1,062 yards last year, and I was like, that's not that much.
1,060. No, it's like 1,000 is not impressive anymore. It's not that many yards, really, just considering – yeah, you know,
and
everything.
Actually,
yeah,
that great, great reference, because I just said 1,060, and if you had 60, what did I just say? 64 yards a game.
You said, oh yeah, it's
64 times 16 is 1,024. So 63 times 16 would be, 63. You're right. That's 1,008 yards.
Boom. Yeah, I mean, seriously, if you had a guy who had 66 yards rushing every game, you'd be like, Just another game, I guess.
Well, and if he caught one touchdown every game, he'd have 16 touchdowns, John.
Yeah, if he had 65 yards and a touchdown every game, he'd be a Pro Bowler. Yes. I mean, it's not going to happen, but it was fun. Yeah, we had no sacks in this game, which is, I guess, the one big surprising thing. They got the ball out quickly. Like I said, Derek Carr did a very good job.
Does too.
They had a good plan. Do you want to know what was not a good plan? Like, I'm going to give Gruden a lot of credit on a lot of things, in that they really did have a good plan for attacking this defense. They were going to run the ball. They were going to do some play action. They were going to get the ball to the tight end. They were going to do a lot of these quick passes, get the ball out of Carr's hands, try to neutralize our pass rush, try to attack our linebackers, our injured safety. But he threw a challenge flag on a pass interference.
Mm-hmm.
Who's doing that still? Have you not watched football the last 3 weeks? They're not overturning that. You need
John,
to have paid attention.
John Gruden is, I think this is really an experimental test tube for him. I think he knows that he's not getting anywhere with this team this year. And I really think he's pushing the edge on a lot of things he's doing. I'm actually quite impressed with what he's doing. Like, take away the fact that his defense gave up 42 points to the Packers. They played a pretty good game yesterday. So, I mean, I think at this point, like, he's been around the league long enough that I think he was probably trying to push some buttons with that one. And back to the point about Derek Carr getting out the ball early, I think after watching his brother get sacked out of the league and hit so many times, if I was Derek Carr too, I'd be getting rid of the ball in 2 seconds every single time. So
when he came in, man, they had such a good offensive line. They spent more money on offensive line than any other team in football the year that he almost won the MVP. They had the highest paid offensive line in football. And it showed, and I wrote a whole big article about comparing them at one point. I think it was for The Grueling Truth. I can't remember which one place I wrote it for, unfortunately. But it was a whole big thing about, like, the Raiders drafted a lineman somewhere in the top three, like, every single year for 4 years before they drafted a quarterback.
Brilliant.
And, you know, of course, the Texans didn't have anybody. He was the first pick they ever had. And they had Baselli, who at that point was just about done. And mm-hmm. They didn't have a line. The Raiders had the opportunity to go, and they put everything around him first and then picked him up. And he had a couple guys to throw to, and he had a pretty decent group up there.
And that's what we're on the backside of now with the Raiders, is that's the reason why John Gruden's getting rid of all the talent, is because when you do something like that, I mean, your salary cap's going to get out of control really quick. And
yeah, if you're not careful.
And the sad fact of the matter is that David Carr was probably better than his brother is. But we would never know, because he got sacked 76 times his first year. I'm going to go.
Well, I think it was like his second or third year. Yeah, he got hit a lot, though.
He got hit a lot. He got sacked like 200 times in 3 years.
Yes.
4 years. And
three
it was
or four
just,
years, yeah.
And like, how do you build any confidence as a quarterback, especially coming out of Fresno State? I think David Carr really, out of all the quarterbacks in our generation, I can't speak before Don Majkowski, for Christ's sakes. I can barely speak on Don Majkowski. I was 9 years old at the time.
Some magic. Magic, man.
But of all the young quarterbacks that had promise coming out, the Couches, the Leafs, everybody else, I think David Carr really got the short end of the stick on that
one. Couch was also a first-round pick for an expansion team, though.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he had the two of them, they should just hang out together in their own club and just watch football.
What did you just say? Sorry.
Couch, Tim Couch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's Cleveland. Right. Because he was the first pick of the new Browns.
The new Browns, right. After the old ones left and went to Baltimore. Yeah, the two of them should get together and have their own.
The new Browns have really done so much better than the old Browns have ever done.
The old Browns were great. They had a bunch of good teams.
The old of them. I mean, arguably the best player in the history of the NFL played for the Browns.
Yeah, Jim Brown's probably the best ever. No, but the thing about this, I mean, like, I think what would be great is a podcast with just Tim Couch and David Carr, or a TV show, anything, right. Like a YouTube channel with those two guys just having a couple beers talking football. They're like, man, I could do that.
Just put him on McAfee's show. Just have it be a weekly segment.
How is that Couch not a show already? That should happen. Couch and Carr. Oh, man.
Couch and Carr.
That just sells itself, doesn't it?
You can tell the Packers really want the – I almost swore. They almost want the the S out of they did a heck of a job this week because we are barely talking about the game.
Everything went well. The Packers Aaron had a Rodgers, clear plan to pass.
We haven't even mentioned that Aaron Rodgers threw a perfect game. I mean,
they had a clear plan to pass because the Raiders, we didn't run the ball at all at them. I mean, if you started Aaron Jones on your fantasy team, I guess you did all right because he had a touchdown catch. Mm-hmm. Jamal Williams
redeemed himself, by the way.
Jamal Williams week. With the touchdown catch as well, both save him. But I mean, like, it's and that's the great evenness is two touchdowns to running backs, two different running backs, two touchdowns to two different wide receivers, the ones you didn't think were going to catch them. And then like Jimmy Graham catches one and you're just like, what? No, I guess MVS is a guy you expected. And then Kumaro. And you're like, what?
How right. did this happen? I can guarantee Kumaro was sitting on 99% of the benches. And actually, Lazard yesterday?
I'm sorry. No, I don't think so.
I started Lazard in our league because I thought for sure that he was going to get more play, but then MVS and, that was also before MVS and, Allison were cleared too, so and I'm too lazy to go in on Sunday mornings and change my wide receivers. So.
That's no right idea. You were saying, I think one thing I wanted to come back to is you had mentioned just a little bit ago, and I'm just trying to look at this. And before we moved on, I wanted to at least talk about this a little bit.
More David Carr stats?
No, but the Raiders, you're saying, you know, he's running his test tube this year. And I'll give you this. He's played better with this team than I would have thought he would have.
Oh, I mean, thought they'd be 0-6 at this point.
Yeah, I mean, they lost to the Packers, the Vikings, and the Chiefs. Those are the three teams they've lost to. They beat the Broncos. They beat the Colts, who are actually legit at this point.
And they are.
The Colts are a legit team.
Looking really good.
But. Yeah, well, because they did the right thing, too. It's a hard thing to sell, but they've spent
when they
the last couple
that,
years.
That guard last year, two years
Quentin
ago.
Quentin Nelson? He's an animal. He's a manimal. He's a man mountain full of hanger. And they beat the Bears. But I mean, like, here's what they got coming up. They got to play the Texans. Mm-hmm. They're going to play the Lions. They're going to play the Chargers, who don't look good at all. They're a 2-5 team. Yeah. The Bengals, who are hot garbage. Hot garbage. Don't touch hot garbage. And then the Jets. I mean, that's five straight games now that are at least winnable. I'm not saying they should be favored in every game. They should beat the Chargers, Bengals, and Jets. They should split with the Lions and Texans. I think that's a reasonable outcome to say that they go 4-1 over the next five and end up being 7-4 before they fall apart down the stretch because they're going to play the Chiefs again, obviously. But then, Titans and Jaguars and Chargers then. They should win two of those. Mm-hmm. And then they'll end with the Broncos, who knows what they've got left. They'll probably be a completely different team by then because, like the Packers, they've got a new head coach, and maybe they'll figure something out by then. I don't know.
Maybe they'll just give up. Gruden's got the leeway that no coach has ever had in history, except for maybe Belichick right now.
10-year contract?
Yeah, 10-year contract. Who knows? Maybe week 10, he shuts it all down. He takes all his top starters and benches them.
I can't see any value in that. They'll kill him for that.
Because they're moving to Las Vegas, and he doesn't want any of them to get hurt late in the season, so they would miss the opener next year.
I don't know who's going to hurt that.
You don't know. I mean, Gruden's a smart man, and he's.
He
could go Craig Counsell on the bit and do something that we've never seen before. Absolutely something we've never seen before. Instead, I'm going to get my young guys out there, and I'm going to use this as a late season spring training to see preseason to see who's worth having around here against first team players that are still trying to make the playoffs. Because I know I'm not going to make it out of the first round. I've got a franchise quarterback that I don't want to get busted up again.
Who knows?
I mean, I could see it. I mean. John, we've got teams tanking right now.
No. They tried to go for two. No, I'm just kidding.
There's teams that are tanking week one. I mean, who's to say he just doesn't go, hell, pull the plug, Carr, go take a vacation, spend a couple weeks down at Cabo San Lucas. We're going to take care of this one. And we're going to make sure we're in the top 15 for draft picks. So,
I don't think that we're here. Here's the way I'm going to disagree with you. And I love having a podcast with you is – I have no idea how you're going to come up with an idea like that, and there's no way I could come up with that idea on my own because that just seems insane to me. But still, I think the big thing is his veterans want to play because they've got incentives in their contracts, a lot of them. And lot of them also, they don't want to be seen as a guy who sat out the year. These guys are competitive. You don't think Derek Carr wants to play every minute of every game? You don't think that he's like, forget you, Glennon, throwing touchdowns that should be mine? Not in that voice, obviously, because Derek Carr doesn't talk like that.
He also did a really good job of shedding off a lot of those contracts that did have veteran incentives for playing.
Yeah,
I mean, he's on a lot of young contracts now. So
that's true. But I don't think he's planning on trading any of the people who are still on this team. And I think he wants to keep his veterans happy.
Oh, no, I wasn't saying he was going to trade anybody.
No, I know. What I'm saying is the guys he got rid of, all that veteran money he got rid of, were guys he was getting rid of. The guys he's got left, he's intent on paying those people to do the job that they're here to do. And I don't think he wants to alienate himself from his veterans because I think he wants – I mean – the first big thing is he wants to win, and he wants to do it without having anyone else's players, because the biggest knock he ever got was he won a Super Bowl with a different guy's team.
With Tony Dungy's team. That's a great point. I hadn't thought about that one. That's
the other reason he's getting rid of everybody is he doesn't want to win with somebody else's team. He wants to win with his team. He's got to get rid of the big names other than Carr because you need a quarterback.
In fairness to him, though, he did beat the team that he built with another team.
Yeah, see, that's the biggest thing he should always come back with is, you know who I beat in that game? Was the team that I put together. Because they got to a Super Bowl. They were so good, they got to Super Bowl without me.
Tony Dungy's team and beat my team. That's a good point. God, I had something just run through my head, too, and now it's gone.
So here's the big thing. I just think while you're thinking of it, I think he wants to keep these veterans he has left happy. I don't think he shuts them down because I think it's going to make him mad. I think Derek Carr is going to be very unhappy with the idea that somebody's going to bench him. Somebody's going to sit him down. So I don't think it's crossed his mind.
I mean, it'd be a conversation. I mean, it'd be like, hey,
this team can go 9-7 and push for
here's what we're going to do here. No, so I was just thinking, I was talking about offloading expensive contracts and just how much, just how good the Bears are doing right now.
Jeez. There's a team that mortgages future for one division championship. Oh,
God, they are so bad.
They did. I mean, and you knew it at the time. You're like, they're going to be great this year, and then they're going to have troubles. I mean, the troubles are coming because they're towards – I mean, both the Vikings and Bears are towards the top of what they've got left in their salary cap. They're not going to get better. They're going to be this team.
And they're good, but they're this team. Literally feasted off the back end of Mike McCarthy's career, the bad part of it, and just a horrible year by the Packers. The Packers were gross last year. The Vikings were gross last year. And this isn't just a petty shot at the Vikings. It wasn't a good year for the Vikings either. And the Lions, until further notice, you know.
Whose fault was it this week, Detroit? The Bears literally
took advantage of both the Vikings and the Packers having bad years. Because that's the only time the Bears ever do anything is when the – and I hate giving the Vikings this much credit, but when the Bears don't do anything unless both the Packers and the Vikings are having down years.
Yeah. Well, to 9 NFL championships, yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, like they've had some success in their history.
John, I'm still talking in recent history.
Just recent history.
I can only speak from the time I was 14 on. Like, yeah, well, just in recent history, what's been going on
from
in the
90s on? We'll say
90s on. Because
the
80s,
they killed everybody.
Organizationally, the only time the Bears can do anything is when both the Vikings and the Packers are bad. Like, and the Packers were on the verge of having an season when they squeaked on into a wild card position just because Deshaun Watson returned a punt for a touchdown at the end of a game. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made the playoffs at all. And then the Packers won the Super Bowl going through Chicago. You know, it's, you know, Chicago's, they don't ever, in the last 30 years, they haven't had a dominant enough team to just blow through everybody.
Not really. I mean, they had that 1 year with Rex where they did make a Super Bowl, and that team was pretty good, but Rex couldn't sustain any of that.
That was also Aaron Rodgers' rookie year when they were 6-10.
Oh, yeah.
If I remember right.
If that's right, I forget exactly the years they had it. I tried to block out most of that year because I was so mad. I was convinced God only allowed the Bears to reach a Super Bowl that year so as to knock them down so completely in front of everybody. The one thing the Raiders have going for them, too, is that the AFC is hot garbage. And I'm going to use that phrase again. They are a dumpster fire of a conference.
Outside of New England, yes.
Yeah, Cleveland is number two in the AFC North. They are 2-4. Pittsburgh is 2-4. Cincinnati is 0-7. Oakland is second in their division because Denver and the Chargers are both 2-5. They are third. They're only a game out of the wild card at this point, and that's against – they got Houston coming up. That's the team that's ahead of them. Buffalo and Houston are the only teams ahead of Oakland for the wild card. They've already played – like their three losses are Kansas City – what did I say? Kansas City, Indianapolis, who's a division leader, and the Packers. That's three different division leaders. That's 6-1, 5-2, and 4-2. Those are their three losses. So, yeah, I mean, like that team – they should. There's no reason to shut anything down because they're going to be 9-7 and make a wild card. That's my thought. I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to be 9-7, 10-6, make a wild card somewhere in there. Probably 9-7. But yeah, man, that AFC is just terrible.
I'm trying to.
You're trying to find a way to say that that's not true?
No. So
they come down here, they'd be tied for third with Chicago at 3-3. I mean, like the Vikings. I mean, we got one team with a losing record in the NFC North.
No. So the Rex Grossman Super Bowl year where they lost to Peyton Manning would have been 2006, which would have been the next year would have been Brett Favre's last year in the league when they lost to New York in the NFC Championship game in Lambeau.
That year or the year before?
And then Aaron Rodgers' first year starting was 2008. So anyways, I was trying to get to the, because I was like, I was trying to get the timeline right on that, because 2006, Rodgers was still a back, well, he was a backup in 05, 06. At the end of his career, when he's short on a couple stats, he did get shorted 3 years at the beginning, that Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Because he was started from the get-go. Anyway, sorry, John, what were you talking about?
Well, and so also Rodgers, the one thing we'll say before we shut down our major main event area here is that Rodgers did become the fastest player to 350 touchdowns. He did it, was it several games faster than Drew Brees, who's the next fastest.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, Tom Brady is still chasing several people in stats, and he's played way more games than them. Like, he's played way more games than Manning did. Mm-hmm. And he's still chasing him in stats because Manning was a better quarterback playing with less talent around him. But anyhow, that'll wrap up our main event, and we'll move on to just get a little few other things wrapped up in what we call our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
All right, Aaron, the couple things I want to bring up sports-wise in terms of our, you know, scores and things like that. First, of course, UW Women's Hockey, the number one ranked team in the country, beat Long Island University, which I did not know was a university or a hockey team. They are the Sharks. They beat them 10-2 and then 12-0. So there were 12 goals in both games. One of those games, the Badgers had all 12 of them, though. Next week, the Badgers women will take on Bemidji State Beavers. So Badgers look to stay on top, number one. Lot of the younger players getting a lot of goals here, getting their first goals, getting a lot of playing time here, and that team is still rolling. Good job there. Fantastic team. Here's the big one for you, though. UW Men, it was a matchup between the 17th-ranked Badgers and the 3rd-ranked, 2-time defending national champion UMD Bulldogs. Badgers win 6-2. And then they sweep them with a 3-1 win on Saturday.
I know that was insane.
It was a crazy game to watch. They had a lot of great plays. Colefield had some great plays. Sean Doogie had a couple great plays. A lot of work all around from a lot of guys. And Lebedev was just all over, knocking everything down. He's the goalie. If you're not following Badger men's hockey, Lebedev was amazing. Is he Finnish? I'm trying to remember exactly. I think he's from Finland. That team. They look good this year, and they got a lot of young guys, freshmen, sophomores, who are really producing. Cole Caulfield looks amazing, and I just hate the fact that he's been drafted by the Canadiens, but this team looks really good. Badgers jump up to number 6 in the nation in this week's poll. I think it's Denver State is number one right now, but the Badgers looked really good this week. They're now 3-1 with their only loss being on the road in a tight game to Boston College. The other thing, and Aaron, you tweeted a bunch of this out earlier the week. You and I have both been sharing this throughout the year, but the UW women's volleyball team is now 8-0 in conference, in the best conference in the land, and somehow they are ranked 13th in the country.
Well, it's got to catch up, too. I mean, it's early season, so
They have so far, they have beaten number 7 Minnesota. They have beaten number 2 Nebraska. They have beaten number 18 Illinois. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're still ranked. Nebraska is still number 2. Penn State's number 5. Minnesota number 7. Purdue 17th. Illinois 18th in the country. Badgers 13th. They are 8-0 in conference, 12-4 overall. One of their losses, also to give shout out since it's a Wisconsin podcast, Marquette. Marquette is the 10th ranked team in the country and beat the Badgers early in the season. I believe two sets to one, something like that. Something around there. I forget what the score was. Maybe it was 3-1 or 3-2. They had beaten the Badgers earlier in the season. But yeah, Marquette ranked number 10 right now and looking very good as well. But man, that Badgers women's team in the best conference in all volleyball, they are undefeated 8-0. I mean, there are 12 games left, and this week they go play Maryland, which is a matchup you think they should win. But yeah, just a great game. And that's not getting enough attention because that is a great, great accomplishment for a team that, I don't know, 7 years ago was a very much an afterthought in the Big Ten and nationally was not ranked. A couple of changes in coaching staff and a lot of good recruiting. This team is just doing great over the last couple of years and really vying for some serious national honors here. So that's fantastic.
Well, and thing is, too, we're so accustomed and attuned to how college football rankings work, that if you knock down a couple teams, all of a sudden you're number one. And I'm not looking at the schedule right in front of me. As a matter of fact, I was just trying to figure out something about the Minnesota Duluth Hockey, because in moving away from there last year, I lost track of how good they were. Anyways, but yeah, so I think Wisconsin will do well. I mean, there's a lot more games ahead, and they're gonna the rankings will. As long as they keep winning, it'll creep up, you know? And so, and I have a feeling it happens because we're so used to basketball and football and how fluid the rankings are, because there's so much money on the line with the rankings that we lose track of some of the other sports. Yeah. What you've done in the past does affect how your rankings are, and they move a little bit more slowly. So they'll probably adjust it. If Wisconsin keeps winning, I think it'll catch up.
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean,
did that make any sense with that statement right there? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is, yeah, in the same way that Wisconsin can't get a loss if they're playing in football and try to get a national title, they're just not going to get a chance to do that in hockey, volleyball. I'm still looking at hockey stuff because I realized I forgot to say who Wisconsin plays next. But anyhow, yeah, no, they don't get to slack off. They really have to show up a lot to try to overcome the fact that teams like Penn State and Nebraska are perennial contenders, and they're going to have to overcome that. Wisconsin, by the way, Wisconsin men's, looks like they play Clarkson next, number 13 Clarkson. So they continue to have some tough games ahead, but this is a team that really should have a chance this year. If they're going to play like this, having a chance, Michigan State don't look like they're in up years. Ohio State, not as much. But, yeah, Notre Dame, which, by the way, is Big Ten for hockey, is, I believe, ranked number 5 right now. So there should be some good games coming up, and they do usually go play a couple of those old WCHA foes as they go along through the season here as well. The only couple other things I'll say is that Badger basketball should be getting going soon. There was the red-white scrimmage we talked about last week. Bucks are coming up very soon, Aaron.
Yeah, they are. They play on Thursday night. Hold on, let me get that tab up.
I was going to say, what are your thoughts for the coming season, possible outcomes here?
I don't think it's going to be as I think last year was a little bit better than this year's going to be, and I think we all have to buckle up as Bucks fans on that one. So the Bucks start Thursday night at the Rockets against the Beard, James Harden, who is, I think, still bitter that Giannis won the MVP last year, and some nice additions in the offseason.
And he's appealing to China to change the outcome.
Oh, God. Don't get me started on the China bit.
Oh, we're going into that.
China announced that on the LeBron bit, that if you think his comments about freedom of speech are wrong, then you're racist.
Huh, it's like, interesting.
God, nice work, China. Good job.
Why would China lie to us?
Oh, why would they ever? Anyways, so anything else? So we're you got me all off. Anyway, so the addition of Kyle Korver's looked really nice. Having that deep threat 3-point shooter is awesome. But yeah, the Bucks start off. They got Rockets on Thursday night, then they are at home at Fiserv on Saturday for a 4 o'clock tip against the Heat. Back to my original point, though, I think the Bucks aren't going to be as good as last season, because this year they're not the surprise team. Not that they should have been the surprise team last year. Last year they were everyone's kind of, I think the Bucks are going to be good team. And then now this year they definitely have the bullseye on them. And it's all about how to shut down, you know, Giannis got away with about, let's see here, 72 or 82 games in the regular season. Then how many games in the playoffs until Toronto? And then they figured out how to shut him down. So Toronto figured out how to shut down Giannis during the offseason. And now it's been Coach Budenholzer's job during the offseason how to get the pressure away from Giannis. And so they can make that next step to the NBA championships. They're going to be a 60-win team. One or two in the East. I'm guessing they're going to be one in the East just because there's nobody else. But that's my take. It's going to be a good season, save an injury to one major player.
Don't do that.
Yeah. You just got to – that's true. I mean, it's just like the Packers every year right now when you have a franchise. He's a franchise player. I mean, it's just what it is. So – between 61 and 65 wins and first or second in the East, if they don't make it to the conference championship, I'll be disappointed.
Yeah, and I think
I didn't make it to Fiserv last year during the opening season, only because I just moved here. But I want to get over to Fiserv for a game and check it out. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out a way. I got to get over there too at some point. I know my son wants to see it. And, of course, the best way to do that, though we're not getting paid for this, is you and I have the opportunity to use GovX, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
For any of our listeners out there who are veterans, GovX is just the best. And they now have sports tickets on GovX, which is great.
We actually went to a Brewers game last year for $20 a ticket, and we got to sit in a mezzanine level, which also lets you go to all the same bars as the box people. So.
It's fantastic. GovX, basically, the only way to even get a sign-in is to send them a copy of your DD-214, which is the form you get when you're released from active duty. So, it's just for veterans, and it's discounted stuff and like Under Armour and Camelback and Leatherman and just all sorts of great things, and then also sports tickets. So I'm definitely probably going to take a look. Definitely probably doesn't make sense as a sentence, but I will definitely take a look.
I remember when we used to get into Bucks games at the Bradley Center for like $5 a ticket.
Yeah, I've never been into a Bucks game. It's like the only thing I've ever been to. I've been to college hockey, pro hockey. I've been to pro baseball, pro and college football. I've been to college basketball. I guess I haven't been to volleyball or stuff, but I mean, I've been to most of the big things. I've never been to an NBA game though, not once.
I have been part of the three times I was part of the halftime attract, or not halftime, but the mid-period entertainment at UMD hockey games. The three-time national champion UMD Bulldog hockey games. And I won two of the events.
There you go. Yeah, best I got was like playing halftime games for the Pointers or whatever else it was. But anyhow, yeah, that's still something. I think the Bucks are going to be pretty good. The thing that everyone should remember is this year, instead of looking at Toronto as the team that we have to get past, it's going to be the Celtics. We thought it would be the Celtics last year. It's actually going to be the Celtics this year because they got rid of Kyrie, who just drags everybody down with him and is a little ball of hatred. Not a little ball of hate,
but a ball of hatred. And a flat earther on top of it.
Yeah, weird as all get-go.
Honey, all you ever do is bring me down.
But yeah, Kemba Walker, that's an upgrade in terms of what you're actually going to get out of him. And
Jaylen Brown just signed a 4-year, $115 million contract to play basketball.
Yeah, they've got just they're very smart about their basketball. They know what they're doing when they bring in people, and they put together depth, and they're going to come at them this year. that's going to be the challenge for the Bucks this year, is staying up all year long, getting ready, and being ready for that playoff push. And they've got a lot of experience at it now. They got all the way to a conference final. Okay. I'd like to see them get to the final again. I won't be disappointed if they don't make it because of the massive improvements that it seems like Boston's made. I really want to see them get to an NBA championship round at least. But, you know, it is what it is. That being
I
said,
I think they'll be fine there. And it, like I've think I've said this, and we're going to have to name this podcast this, until further notice, Boston has to not implode down the road. Ooh, that rhymed even. Wow.
Boston has to not implode. That's a dance, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the Dropkick Murphy sang that song. Anyways, has to not implode. But Boston's been hot garbage down the road, or down the dusty path the last couple of years. Like, they got to hold it together. Like, and now you said that the person that's probably most responsible for that is now gone. So I will give them that. But where does he play now?
Ooh, I'm sorry.
All right, you talk and I'll find that out.
Kyrie?
Yeah.
He's in Carolina now, isn't he? With the Charlotte Hornets?
Oh, he plays for the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, no, they gave him over there. That's right.
Oh, is it him and Durant?
Yeah, Durant, whenever he comes back healthy.
Yeah.
Which will be next year.
Is Durant a flat earther? I used to love Durant. God, I used to love Durant.
The thing that gets me about Durant is he actually has burner accounts to go and troll people who talk about him. Like, who is that petty other than Allen Robinson? By the way, check out my Twitter line where we talk about Allen Robinson. You can follow that.
Great point.
You can follow that as he goes after Aaron Nagler, and I point out how petty he is. You can follow that and all other sorts of wonderful, interesting things at Not So Humble Host. You can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk. You can follow the show at Scott and Jenny Pod. You can also, of course, find our stuff at our Facebook page. You can find it on our webpage, scottandjohnny.com. You can also go to Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, wherever you find it. Remember to subscribe, download, listen, review, and rate this podcast. And of course, remember, whether you are on the town or on the go, it is always on Wisconsin.
I'm glad that we spent so much time talking about Wisconsin sports in the last half hour.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening.